the raven myth from the Eskimos found in the Bering Straits. Before we begin with this episode of the feed with the raven myth, I would like to take the time to mention our sponsor for this episode. Today's episode of the feed is brought to you by Fotations on Patreon. Are you a content creator, graphic designer, or someone in need of high-quality stock photography for your next creative project? Look no further than Fotations. With a wide range of stunning images that can be used on YouTube, in graphic design projects, print media, and more, Fotations is your one-stop shop for stock photography. And here's the best part: you can try out for free. Sign up today and get a 7-day free trial with full access to the entire stock photography library. After the trial, it's just $4.99 a month, with new photos being added throughout each month to keep your projects fresh and dynamic. Plus, if you're watching the video edition of the feed, you'll notice that all the beautiful photos used in this episode are straight from Fotations. Want to use them in your projects? Head over to the Fotations Patron stock photography page and get started today. So why wait? Join the Fotations community now and elevate your creative projects with top quality stock photos. Check out Fotations on Patreon and start your 7-day free trial. Now let's get back to the story of the raven myth. From the Eskimos found in the Bering Straits. It was in the time when there were no people on the earth plane. The first man for 4 days lay coiled up in the paw of the beach pea. On the 5th day, he stretched out his feet and burst the paw. He felt the ground, and when he stood up, he was a full-grown man. Man looked all around him and then at himself. He moved his hands and arms, his neck and legs. When he looked back, he saw, still hanging to the vine, the pod of the beech pea, with a hole in the lower end out of which he had dropped. When he looked about him again, he saw that he was heading farther from his starting place. The ground seemed to move up and down under his feet, and it was very soft. After a while, he had a strange feeling in his stomach, so he stooped down to drink some water from a small pool at his feet. Then he felt better. When man looked up again, he saw coming toward him with a fluttering motion something dark. He watched the dark thing until it stopped just in front of him. It was Raven. As soon as Raven stopped, he raised one of his wings and pushed up his beak as though it were a mast to the top of his head. This raven changed at once into a man. Raven stared hard at man, moving from side to side to see him better. Raven said, "What are you? Where did you come from? I have never seen anything like you." Raven still stared at man, surprised to find this new thing so much like himself. He made man walk around a little while he perked his head from side to side to see him better. Then Raven said again in astonishment, "Where did you come from? I have never seen anything like you before." Man said, "I came from the pea pod." He pointed to the plant from which he came. "I made that vine," said Raven, "but I did not know that anything like you would come from it. Come with me to the high ground over. There it is thicker and harder. This ground I made later, and it is soft and thin. So man and raven walked to the higher ground, which was firm and hard. Raven asked man if he had eaten anything. Man said he had taken some of the soft stuff from one of the pools. "Let you drink some water," said Raven. "Now wait for me here." Raven drew down his beak as though it were a mask over his face. He at once became a bird and flew far up into the sky, far out of sight. Man waited until the fourth day. Then Raven returned, bringing four berries in his claws. He pushed up his beak and so became a man again. Then he gave to man two salmon berries and two his berries, saying, "Here is something I made for you two. I wish them to be plentiful. On the earth, eat them." Man put the berries into his mouth, one after the other, and ate them. Then he felt better. Then Raven left man near a small creek while he went to the edge of the water. He took two pieces of clay at the water's edge and shaped them like a pair of mountain sheep. He held them in his hand until they were dry, and then he called man to come and see them. Man said they were pretty, so Raven told him to close his eyes. Man closed his eyes tightly. Then Raven pulled down his beak mask and waved his wings four times over the pieces of clay. Once they bounded away as full-grown mountain sheep. Raven told man to look. Man was so much pleased that Raven said, "If these animals are plentiful, perhaps people will try to kill them." Man said yes. Raven said, "Well, it will be better for them to live among the steeper rocks so everyone cannot kill them. There only shall they be found." Raven took two more pieces of clay and shaped them like tame reindeer. He held them in his hand until they were partly dry, then told man to look at them. Raven again drew down his beak mask and waved his wings four times over them. Thus they became alive, but as they were only dry in spots while Raven held them, therefore they remained brown and white with mottled coat. Raven told man these tame reindeer would be very few in number. Again Raven took two pieces of clay and shaped them like the caribou or wild reindeer. But he held them in his hands only a little also, that only the bellies of the reindeer became dry and white. Then Raven drew down his beak mask and waved his wings over them, and they bounded away. But because only their bellies were dry and white while Raven held them, therefore the wild reindeer is brown except its white belly. Raven said to man, "These animals will be very common. People will kill many of them." Thus Raven began to create the animals. Raven said one day to man, "You are lonely by yourself. I will make you a companion." He went to some white clay at a spot to step from the clay of which he had made animals and made of the clay a figure almost like man. Raven kept looking at man while he shaped the figure. Then he took fine water grass from the creek and fastened it on the back of the head for hair. When the clay was shaped, Raven drew down his beak mask and waved his wings over it. The clay became a beautiful girl the goat was white and fair because Raven let the clay dry entirely before he waved his wings over it. Raven took the girl to man. "There is a companion for you," he said. Now, in the days of the first people on the earth plane, there were no mountains far or near. No rain ever fell, and there were no winds. The sun shone always very brightly. Then Raven showed the first people on the earth plane how to sleep warmly in the dry moss when they were tired. Raven himself drew down his beak mask and went to sleep like a bird. When Raven awakened, he went back to the creek. Here he made two sticklebacks, two graylings, and two blackfish. When these were swimming about in the water, he called man to see them. Man raised his hand in surprise, and the sticklebacks started away. Raven told him the graylings would be found in clear mountain streams, while the sticklebacks would live along the coast, and that both would be good for food. Raven next made the shrew mouse. He said, "The shrew mouse will not be good for food. It will prevent the earth plane from looking bare and trellis." In this way, Raven was busy several days making birds and fishes and animals. He showed each of them to man and explained what they were good for. Then Raven flew into the sky far, far away and was gone for days. When he came back, he brought a salmon to man. But Raven noticed that the ponds and lakes were silent and lonely, so he made water hugs to flit upon the surface of the water. He also made the beaver and the muskrat to live around the borders of the ponds. Raven told man that the beavers would live along the streams and build strong houses, so man must build a strong house also. Raven said the beavers would be very cunning, and only good hunters could catch them. He also told man how to catch the muskrat and how to use its skin for clothing. Raven also made flies and mosquitoes and other insects to make the earth plain more cheerful. At first, mosquitoes were like flies. They did not bite. One day, man killed a deer. After he had cut it up and placed the fat on a bush, he fell asleep. When he awoke, he found the mosquitoes had eaten all of it. Then man was very angry and scolded the mosquitoes. He said, "Never eat meat again. Eat men." Before that, mosquitoes never bit people. When the first baby came on the earth plane, Raven rubbed it all over with white clay. He told man it would grow into a man like himself. The next morning, the baby was a big boy. He ran around pulling up grass and flowers that Raven had planted. By the third day, the baby was a full-grown man. Then another baby was born on the earth plane. She was rubbed over with the white clay. The next day, the baby was a big girl walking around. On the third day, she was a full-grown woman. Now Raven began to be afraid that man would kill all the creatures he had made. He was afraid they would kill them for food and clothing. Therefore, Raven went to a creek nearby. He took white clay and shaped it like a bear. Then he waved his wings over it, and the clay became there. But Raven jumped very quickly to one side when the bear became alive because it looked fiercely around and growled. Then Raven showed the bear to man and told him to be careful. He said the bear was very fierce and would tear him to pieces if he disturbed it. Then Raven made the seals and taught man how to catch them. He also taught man how to make strong lines from sealskin and snares for the deer. Then Raven went away to the place of the pea vine. When he reached the pea vine, he found three other men had just fallen from the same pot that man had fallen from. These men were looking about them in wonder. Raven led them away from the pea vine, but in a different direction from the first man. He brought them close to the sea. Raven stayed with these three men a long time. He taught them how to take wood from the bushes and small trees he planted in hollows and shelter places, and to make a fire drill and also a bow. He made many more plants and birds which like the seacoast, but he did not make so many as in the land where man lived. He taught these men how to make bows and arrows, spears and nets, and how to use them, and also how to capture the seals, which were now plentiful in the sea. Then he taught them how to make kayaks, and how to build houses of drift logs and of bushes covered with earth. Then he made wives for these men and went back to man. When Raven reached the land where man lived, he thought the earth plain still looked bare. So, while the others slept, Raven planted birch and spruce and cottonwood trees to grow in the low places. Then he woke up the people, who were pleased with the trees. Then Raven taught man how to make fire with the fire drill and to place the spark of tinder in a bunch of dry grass and to wave it about until it blazed, and then to put dry wood upon it. He showed them how to roast fish on a stick and how to make fish traps of splints and willow bark, and how to dry salmon for winter use. Where man lived, there was now a large village because the people did everything as Raven told them, and therefore all the babies grew up in 3 days. One day Raven came back and sat down by man by the creek, and they talked of many things. Man asked Raven about the skyland. Man wanted to see the skyland which Raven had made. Therefore Raven took man to the land in the sky. Man found that the skyland was a very beautiful country and that it had a much better climate than his land. But the people who lived there were very small. Their heads did not reach to man's hips. The people wore for clothing with beautiful patterns, such as people on earth now wear, because man showed his people how to make them. And the lakes were strange animals which would have killed man if he had tried to drink of the water. In a dry lake bed, thickly covered with tall grass, man saw a wonderful animal resting upon the tips of the grasses. It had a long head and 6 legs. It had fine, thick hair, and on the back of the head were 2 thick, short horns which bent forward and then curved back at the tips. Raven told man it took many people to kill this animal. Then they came to a round hole in the sky, and around the edge of the hole was short grass glowing like fire. Raven said, "This is the star, called the Moon Dog. some of the grass had been pulled up. Raven said he had taken some to start the first fire on Earth. Then Raven said to man, "Shut your eyes. I will take you to another country." Man climbed upon Raven's back and they dropped down through the star hole. They floated a long, long time through the air. Then they floated through something else. When they stopped, Raven saw he was at the bottom of the sea. Man could breathe there, but it seemed foggy. Raven said that was the appearance of the water. Then Raven said, "I want to make some new animals here, but you must not walk about. You lie down, and if you get tired, turn over on the other side." Man went to sleep lying on one side and slept a long while. When he waked up, he wanted to turn over, but he could not. Then man thought, "I wish I could turn over," and at once he turned. As he turned, he was surprised to see that his body was covered with long, white hairs, and his fingers were long claws. Then he went to sleep again. This he did three times more. Then when he woke up, Raven stood by him. Raven said, "I have changed you into a white bear. How do you like it?" Man could not make a sound until Raven waved his wings over him. Then he said he did not like it. If he was a bear, he would have to live on the sea while his son lived on land, so man should feel badly. Then Raven struck the white skin with his wings and it fell off. So man became himself again. But Raven took the empty bear skin and placed one of his own tail feathers inside it for a spine. Then he waved his wing over it, and a white bear arose. Ever since then, white bears have been found on the frozen sea. Raven said, "How many times did you turn over?" Man said, "4. Raven said, "You slept just 4 years." Then Raven made other animals. He made the imikuk, a large, slimy animal with 6 skin and with 4 long, wide spreading arms. This is a fierce animal and lives in the sea. It wraps its 4 long arms round a man or a kayak and drags it under the water. A man cannot escape it. If he climbs out of his kayak on the ice, the imikuk will dart underneath and break the ice. If man runs away on shore, the imikuk pursues him by burrowing through the earth. No man can escape from it when once it pursues him. Then Raven showed man the walrus and the dog walrus with head and teeth like a dog. It's always swam with large herds of walrus and with a stroke of its tail could kill a man. He showed him whales and the grampus. Raven told man that only good hunters could kill a whale, but when one was killed, an entire village could feast on it. He showed him also the sea fox, which is so fierce it kills men, and the sea otter, which is like the land otter but has finer fur tipped with white, and other fishes and animals as they rose to the surface of the water. Then Raven said, "Close your eyes. Hold fast to me." Then man found himself on the shore near his home. The village was very large. His wife was very old, and his son was an old man. The people gave him place of honor in the kashim and made him their headsman. So man taught the young man many things. Now man wanted again to see the skyland. So Raven and man went up among the dwarf people and lived there a long time. But on earth the village grew very large. The man killed many animals. Now in those days, the sun shone always very brightly. No rain ever fell and no winds blew. Man and Raven were angry because the people killed many animals. They took a long line and a grass basket one night and caught 10 reindeer, which they put into the basket. Now in those days reindeer had sharp teeth like dogs. The next night Raven took the reindeer and let them down on the earth close to man's village. Raven said, "Break down the first house you see and kill the people. Men are becoming too many." The reindeer did as Raven commanded. They stamped on the house and broke it down. They ate up the people with their sharp, wolf-like teeth. The next night, Raven let the reindeer down. Again, they broke down a house and ate up the people with their sharp teeth. The village people were much frightened. The third night, they covered the third house with a mixture of deer fat and berries. On the third night, when the reindeer began to tear down the third house, their mouths were filled with the fat and sour berries. Then the reindeer ran away, shaking their heads so violently that all their long, sharp teeth fell out. Ever since then, reindeer have had small teeth and cannot harm people. After the reindeer ran away, Raven and man returned to the skyland. Man said, "If the people do not stop killing so many animals, they will kill everything you have made. It would be better to take the sun away from them. Then it will be dark and people will die." Raven said, "That it is right. You stay here. I will go and take away the sun." So Raven went away and took the sun out of the sky. He put it in a skin bag and carried it far away to a distant part of the skyland. Then it became dark on earth. The people on earth were frightened when the sun vanished. They offered Raven presents of food and furs if he would bring back the sun. Raven said no. After a while, Raven felt sorry for them, so he let them have a little light. He held up the sun in one hand for 2 days so people could hunt and secure food. Then he put the sun in the skin bag again and the earth was dark. Then after a long time, when the people made him many gifts, he would let them have a little light again. Now Raven had a brother living in the village. He was sorry for the earth people. So Raven's brother thought a long time. Then he died. The people put him in a grave box and had a burial feast. Then they left the grave box. At once Raven's brother slipped out of the box and went away from the village. He hid his raven mask and coat in a tree. Soon Raven's wife came for water. When she took up a dipperful to drink, Raven's brother by magic became a small leaf. He fell into the water and Raven's wife swallowed him. When Raven boy was born, he grew very rapidly. He was running about. When he was only a few days old, he cried for the sun, which was in the skin bag hanging on the rafters. Raven was fond of the boy, so he let him play with the sun. Yet he was afraid Raven Boy would lose the sun. So he watched him. When Raven Boy began to play out of doors, he cried and begged for the sun. Raven said no. Then Raven Boy cried more than ever. At last, Raven gave him the sun in the house. Raven Boy played with it a long while. When no one was looking, he ran quickly out of the house. He ran to the tree, put on his raven mask and coat, and flew far away with the sun in the skin bag. When Raven Boy was far up in the sky, he heard Raven call, "Do not hide the sun. Let it out of the bag. Do not keep it always dark." Raven thought the boy had stolen it for himself. Raven Boy flew to the place where the sun belonged. He tore off the skin covering and put the sun in its place. Then he saw a broad path leading far away. He followed it to the side of a hole fringed with short, bright grass. He remembered that Raven had said, "Do not keep it always dark." Therefore, he made the sky turn with all the stars and the sun. Thus it is now, sometimes dark and sometimes light. Raven Boy picked some of the short, bright grass by the edge of the sky hole and stuck it into the sky. This is the morning star. Raven Boy went down to the earth. The people were glad to see him. They said, "What has become of man who went into the skyland with Raven?" Now this was the first time that Raven Boy had heard of man. He started to fly up into the sky, but he could get only a small distance above the earth. When he found he could not get back to the sky, Raven Boy wandered to the second village where lived the men who had come from the pod of the beet pea. Raven Boy there married a wife, and he had many children, but the children could not fly to the sky. They had lost their magic power. Therefore, the ravens now flutter over the tundras like other birds. Let me remind you that today's episode of The Feed is brought to you by Flotations on Patreon. Are you a content creator, graphic designer, or someone in need of high quality stock photography for your next creative project? Look no further than Flotations. With a wide range of stunning images that can be used on YouTube and graphic design projects, print media, and more, Flotations is your one-stop shop for stock photography. And here's the best part: you can try it out for free. Sign up today and get a 7-day free trial with full access to the entire stock photography library. After the trial, it's just $4.99 a month, with new photos being added throughout each month to keep your projects fresh and dynamic. Plus, if you're watching the video edition of the feed, you'll notice that all the beautiful photos used in this episode are straight from Flotations. Want to use them in your projects? Head over to the Flotations Patreon stock photography page and get started today. So why wait? Join the Flotations community now and elevate your creative projects with top quality stock photos. Check out Flotations on Patreon and start your 7-day free trial. Now that we have listened to the story of the Raven myth, let's take a moment to expand our knowledge on this story. In the story, when man first comes into being from a pea pod, it tells us a lot about how the people who made up this story viewed their connection with nature. Imagine being born not from another person, but from a plant that grows out of the earth. This idea suggests that humans are seen as a direct part of nature, just like plants and animals. It's like saying people grow from the earth just like veggies in a garden, which means humans are deeply connected to the land and all living things around them. This way of thinking also points out that nature is something magical and life-giving in this culture. By having man come from a peat pod, the story shows that nature isn't just where people live, it's where they come from. This, like nature, is their big extended family. This could make the people listening to or reading the story respect nature more, treat it kindly, and see themselves as caretakers of the earth because, in a way, the earth is like their parent or their home from the very beginning. The role of Raven as both creator and trickster reflects the Eskimo view of the natural world. Raven in this story is not just any character. He's super important because he's both a creator and a kind of funny, tricky friend. When Raven makes things like animals and people, and even changes the weather, it shows that the natural world in this story is full of surprises and isn't always what it seems. Just like Raven can be helpful by creating things we need, but also mischievous by playing tricks or changing his form. Nature can be good to us with food and shelter, but also unpredictable with storms or cold. The Eskimo people who this story comes from probably saw the world like Raven, full of life and creativity, but also with a sight that you have to watch out for. This means they might have thought of their environment as something alive, with its own sense of humor or spirit. Nature, like Raven, gives but can also challenge you or teach you lessons in ways you might not expect. So, by having Raven as a creator and trickster, the story tells kids that while the world around them is wonderful and gives them what they need, they also need to be smart, adaptable, and ready for anything just like you would with a clever friend like Raven. The significance of Raven giving man companions and animals. Raven giving man companions and animals is like setting up a whole community from scratch, and it's super important for a few reasons. First off, when Raven makes other people for man to hang out with, it's like saying no one should be all alone. Everyone needs friends or family to talk to, share with, and help each other out. This shows that in the world of this story, being together is valuable because living with others makes life not just easier, but also happier. Then, when Raven creates animals, he's not just filling up the world with pets or wildlife. He's giving man all sorts of help. Animals in the story are for eating, using their skins for clothes, or even learning from, like how beavers build their homes. This part of the story tells us that animals are key to human life, not just for what they provide, but for what they teach us about living in nature. So, by giving man these gifts, Raven is making sure humans have everything they need to survive and thrive, teaching kids that everything in nature has its place and purpose. The story explains the characteristics of different animals. The way different animals get their special features is like a fun show and tell by Raven. For example, when Raven makes reindeer, he holds some of them for different amounts of time while they dry, which is why some have white bellies and others are mottled. This tells us that the story is trying to explain why animals look the way they do in a creative way that kids can remember. It's like saying, hey, see that reindeer? It's got a white belly because Raven didn't dry it off as much. Also, when Raven makes mosquitoes, they start off not biting until Ming gets mad at them for eating his deer fat. This part of the story teaches that some traits of animals might come from how they interact with human or because of something unexpected that happened. It's a cool way to think about why mosquitoes buzz around and bite, making the natural world seem like it's full of little stories or reasons for why things are the way they are. The purpose of including the transformation of mosquitoes from non-biting to biting insects. Including the transformation of mosquitoes from non-biting to biting insects might be a way to explain something annoying in a funny or interesting story. Imagine if mosquitoes didn't always bite and were just buzzing around. Then, because of a mix-up with man getting angry, they start to bite. This part of the story could be teaching kids why some things in nature might seem bothersome or harmful, suggesting that there's a tale or a reason behind even the small, itchy things in life. It also shows how actions have consequences. When man scolds the mosquitoes and tells them to eat man instead, it's like saying, be careful what you wish for or say in anger because now everyone has to deal with mosquito bites. This could be a fun way to teach the cause and effect or to think before people react, wrapped up in a story about how something as common as a mosquito's bite came to be. The story implies the balance between humans and wildlife. There is a special balance between humans and wildlife, kind of like a seesaw where both sides need to play nice to keep everything level. When Raven makes all these animals, he's not just filling up the world, he's setting up a system where everything has its place. But then, when people start killing too many animals, Raven gets upset and takes the center away. This part shows that if humans take too much from nature, things can go wrong, like living in the dark, which is pretty scary and tough. This means the story wants us to think about how we use what nature gives us. It's like saying, hey, you can use what you need from nature, but don't go overboard. By having consequences like darkness or animals that can fight back or lose their helpful traits, like the reindeer losing their sharp teeth, the story teaches that respecting and maintaining a balance with wildlife is super important. It's about being fair and smart with nature so that the world stays a good place for everyone, animals included. The myth addressed the themes of loneliness and companionship. The theme of loneliness hits when man first shows up all alone, without anyone like him around. It's like waking up in a new school where you don't know anyone yet. Raven notices this and decides to fix it by making a companion for a man, showing us that being alone isn't much fun and that everyone needs a buddy or family. This part of the story tells kids that companionship is really important for feeling happy and not so alone in the world. Later, when Raven makes more people and animals, it's like he's building a whole community for man. This shows that the myth values not just having one friend but being part of a bigger group where everyone can help and hang out with each other. It teaches that while it's okay to be by yourself, sometimes sharing life with others, whether they're people or animals, makes life richer and more fun. The story saying, look, we're all in this together, making sure everyone knows the value of friends and community. The raven taking the sun away acts as a symbol for human behavior and consequences. Raven takes away the sun because he's not happy with how people are treating the world he made, especially how they're hunting too many animals. By pulling the sun away, Wavan's hitting the pause button on the world, making everything dark and tough to teach humans a lesson about not being greedy or wasteful. This act symbolizes that actions have big consequences, not just for the person doing them, but for everyone around. It shows that if people don't respect nature and take too much without giving back or being thoughtful, they might lose something really important, like light, which we all need to live. This story part is like a parent saying, "Think about what you've done, but in a way that affects the whole world," making it clear that taking care of our planet is everyone's job. The moral lesson behind the creation and control of light by Raven. The moral lesson from Raven controlling the light seems to be about responsibility and the power of nature. When Raven decides to take the sun away, it's like he's saying, you need to take care of what you've been given, or you might lose it. It's a reminder that the things we enjoy, like daylight, are not just there by chance, but are part of the gifts from nature or the world around us, and they can be taken away if we don't act right. It also shows that with great power comes great responsibility. Raven has the power to give and take light, which is super important for life, teaching kids that if you're in charge or have something special, you got to use it wisely. Like if you're the only one with a flashlight in a dark room, you decide if it's your light time or dark lesson time. This story bit encourages thinking about how our actions affect not just us, but everyone and everything around us. This myth reflects the environmental challenges faced by the Eskimo people. By showing how tough and unpredictable their world can be. When Raven takes away the sun, it's like the long dark winters the Eskimos experience, where light and warmth are scarce, making survival harder. This part of the story could help kids understand why it's so important to respect and conserve what nature gives you, because in their real environment, wasting resources or taking too much could mean not surviving the harsh winter. The story also touches on the balance with wildlife, which is super important for the Eskimo way of life. They depend on animals for food, clothing, and tools, but they need to hunt wisely to make sure there's enough for the future. The myth, by showing consequences like animals changing or the loss of light, teaches about living in harmony with nature, which reflects the real-life challenge of living in a place where nature dictates the rules and you have to adapt and live carefully within those rules to thrive. The cultural significance of Raven's brother turning into a child to bring back the sun. When Raven's brother turns into a child to trick Raven and bring back the sun, it shows a few cultural things. First, it tells us that sometimes you need to be clever or even sneaky to solve big problems, similar to how kids might think up a plan to get something they want. In many cultures, including perhaps the one this myth comes from, being smart and resourceful is valued, especially when facing tough situations like endless night. Also, the transformation into a child might suggest that innocence or youth can have a special kind of power or purity to fix things that adults might mess up or overcomplicate. It might be saying that even kids have the ability to make a big difference or fix problems in their community or family. This reflects a cultural belief that everyone, regardless of age, has a role to play in the health and harmony of their society. This narrative serves as an origin story for the Morning Star, the story where Raven's brother turns into a child to retrieve the sun can also be seen as an origin story for the Morning Star. When Raven's brother shoots up into the sky with the sun box, this could explain why we see a star, or what they might call the Morning Star, in the sky before the sun comes up. It's like the myth is saying, here's why there's this bright light in the sky at dawn. It's because of this brave act. This part of the narrative helps explain natural phenomena in a way that's magical and memorable. For kids, it turns something as simple as seeing the Morning Star into a reminder of the story, making the world around them seem full of stories and reasons. It teaches them that behind every natural wonder, there could be an exciting tale or a lesson, making nature not just something to look at, but something with its own stories to tell. The loss of the ability to fly among Raven Boy's children indicates the evolution or change in human capabilities and status. When Raven Boy's children lose their ability to fly, it might be teaching us about how things change over time, not just in stories, but in real life too. It's like saying that at one point, people might have had different abilities or were closer to nature, but as time went on, they became more grounded, literally losing the wings or the magic that let them fly. This can show kids that as societies grow and change, some things might get lost or evolve into something else. This part of the story could also be about growing up or moving from childhood to adulthood. Yes, like how kids dream they can fly, but then learn about gravity and other real-world stuff. Raven Boy's children learning they can fly might represent losing some of their childhood magic or imagination as they face the realities of the world. It's a gentle way to say that while we might lose some fantastical abilities as we grow up, we gain others, like wisdom or new skills, which are also pretty cool, but in a different way. This story teaches about respect for and management of natural resources. This story teaches a lot about respecting and managing natural resources through Raven's actions and the consequences that follow. When Raven gets upset because people are hunting and killing too many animals, it's like a lesson on not taking more than you need from nature. It shows that if you don't respect wildlife and only take what you need, there could be bad outcomes, like losing the sun, which affects everything from growing food to staying warm. Also, by giving animals different traits and then changing those traits based on how humans interact with them, like mosquitoes starting to bite, the story hints at the idea that how we treat nature can change it. This can teach kids that their actions towards the environment can have lasting effects. It encourages them to think about sustainability, which means using resources in a way that we can keep doing it without running out or ruining the environment for future generations. So the story is like a colorful reminder to be mindful and respectful of nature's limits. This story is used to educate about the cycles of day and night. This Raven myth can be a cool way to teach kids about the cycles of day and night through its storytelling. When Raven takes the sun away, it's late explaining why we have nighttime. It's not just because the sun goes down, but because there's a story or reason behind it, making the idea of night more than just lights out. Then, when the sun is brought back, it explains the dawn, showing how day follows night in a cycle. The story could make learning about day and night patterns fun because it uses characters and actions to represent these natural cycles. For instance, Raven's brother turning into a child to bring back the sun could symbolize the Morning Star or the first light of dawn, making the transition from night to day something magical and worth looking forward to. By weaving the explanation into an adventure, the story helps kids remember why we have day and night, making science feel like a part of a grand ongoing tale. The transformation of man into white Paris signifies adaptability and identity. The transformation of one of the men into a white bear in this story could be teaching kids about adaptability and identity in a really cool way. It shows that sometimes to survive or fit into a new environment, you might need to change, like how this man turned into a bear to live better in the cold, harsh world. This change signifies that being adaptable can be key to dealing with new challenges, just like animals where people might change their ways or looks to handle different situations. On the topic of identity, this part of the story tells us that who you are inside can remain, even if you look different on the outside. Even though the man becomes a bear, he might still keep some of his human thoughts or feelings, showing that identity isn't just about how you look, but also about your experiences and your heart. It's like saying to kids, you can be whoever you need to be to face the world, but remember who you are at your core. There are underlying messages about innovation and the use of technology, with Raven teaching man various skills. When Raven teaches man different skills, like making fire, building shelters, or crafting tools, there's an underlying message about innovation and the use of technology. This part of the story is like saying, hey, learning new stuff and using it wisely is super important. It shows that by learning and creating, humans can make their lives better. For kids, it's a message that figuring out how to use what's around you or invent new ways to solve problems is a big part of growing up and surviving. This teaching can also be seen as encouraging curiosity and the drive to make things better, which is what technology and innovation are all about. Raven lessons are like the first steps into science and engineering, showing that using your brain to come up with new ideas or ways to use resources can change your world. It's telling kids that, like Raven, they can be creators too, making tools or finding new methods to do things, which is pretty empowering when you think about it. This story represents knowledge transmission from divine and supernatural beings to humans. The raven acts like a teacher or a wise old grandparent, passing down important know-how from the world of gods or spirits to humans. This shows how the story views knowledge as something special that doesn't just come from books or schools, but can be gifted by supernatural beings. When a raven teaches people how to do things like make fire or build boats, it's like saying, here's some magical or divine wisdom to help you live better. This way of showing knowledge being shared makes learning seem like receiving a gift or a secret from another world, which can make kids see education and learning as something magical and precious. It tells them that what they learn, whether it's science, art, or survival skills, connects them to something bigger than themselves, maybe even to the mysteries or the magic of the universe. It's a fun way to think about where all our human knowledge might have started, making learning not just important, but also kind of mystical and awesome. The role gender plays in the myth with the creation of the first woman. The creation of the first woman comes after man, which might reflect certain traditional views on gender roles, where men are seen first or as the default, with women coming in as companions or complements. However, by having Raven create her, it also underscores that women, like men, are an essential part of the human story, suggesting that both genders are necessary for the world to be complete and for life to go on. The story might be teaching kids that while men and women can be seen as having different roles or starting points, both are created by divine or magical forces, which gives them each a special significance. It shows that women, just like men, are not just afterthoughts that are integral to the community and life's balance. This could be a way to introduce the idea that while gender roles might differ, every person, regardless of gender, plays a crucial part in the narrative of life, community, and survival. The myth reflects on the social structure and roles within Eskimo society. This myth reflects or influences the social structure of Eskimo society by showcasing roles and relationships through its characters and their actions. For example, Raven taking on the role of creator and teacher suggests a society where wisdom and learning are highly valued, possibly mirroring how elders or skilled individuals in the community pass down knowledge and survival skills. This could encourage kids to see themselves as learners and eventually teachers or leaders in their own right. The creation of men and women in the story might also hint at how roles within the community were perceived or assigned, with each gender having specific parts to play in the survival and harmony of the group. While it shows men first, which might reflect a historical or traditional view of male leadership or prominence, the addition of women highlights their indispensable role in community building and continuity. This could teach kids about the importance of cooperation and division of labor, where everyone, regardless of gender, has a vital role to contribute, reflecting a society where teamwork and mutual respect are crucial for survival in their harsh environment. There are elements in the story that could be interpreted as explanations for natural phenomena specific to the Arctic environment. The story has elements that could serve as explanations for natural phenomena in the Arctic. For instance, the part where Raven takes away the sun can be seen as an imaginative explanation for the long, dark winters in the Arctic, where the sun barely rises for months. This helps kids understand why their environment behaves this way, making the extreme conditions seem part of a grand story rather than just cold, hard facts. Another example is the creation of different animals with unique features, like the rinder's belly or the mosquito's behavior change. These could explain why certain animals have adapted in specific ways to survive in the Arctic, like having thick fur, or why some animals behave aggressively. By doing so, the myth gives reason for things like animal migration, hibernation, or even why some animals are more active at night, all of which are strategies to cope with the Arctic's challenging conditions. This storytelling approach makes learning about their environment fun and memorable. The myth suggests environmental stewardship and conservation ethics. The Raven does suggest ideas about taking care of the environment and using resources wisely. When Raven decides to teach humans how to make fire, build shelters, and other survival skills, it's like he's showing them how to live with what they have around them without wasting or ruining it. This part of the story can be seen as teaching kids the importance of not taking more than you need, which is a big part of environmental stewardship. It's saying, hey, use the earth's gifts wisely because they're not endless. Also, when Raven gets upset about humans overhunting, it's a lesson on conservation. The story shows that if people take too much from nature without giving back or being thoughtful, they might lose something important, like how they lost light when Raven hit the sun. This could teach kids that there are consequences to not respecting nature. It encourages them to think about how their actions affect the world around them, suggesting that taking care of nature is both smart and right. The story tells us about the concept of time in Eskimo culture, particularly with the rapid growth of humans. With its theme of rapid human growth, might be hinting at how time feels or is perceived in Eskimo culture, where the natural cycle of seasons and life can be so extreme. When humans grow quickly in the story, it could symbolize how in the harsh Arctic environment, one must adapt and grow up fast to survive. It's like saying time doesn't wait for anyone. You have to be ready to learn and take on responsibilities quickly, because the window for learning certain survival skills, like hunting or building shelters, might be short due to the severe weather changes. This rapid growth could also reflect how life in the Arctic might make the passage of time feel different. Seasons change dramatically, and with them, the activities and life stages of the people. By having humans grow up in the blink of an eye, the story might teach kids that time, in terms of opportunity and life phases, moves swiftly, and one should be prepared to seize the moment. It's a narrative way to express the importance of readiness and resilience against the backdrop of time that waits for no one, especially in a place where nature dictates the pace of life.